Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, happy Monday. I'm Greg Hahn, President, Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. With me is Adam Kunz, Head of Trading and Portfolio Management with me.
Good morning.
How are you doing, Adam?
Hanging in there.
This is the last podcast before the end of the year, so let's run
all
this
year.
let's run this train into the mountain. And there's no shortage of things to talk about heading into what we hope would be a slowdown heading into the end of the year. But I think the big news over the weekend, Adam, was that Congress or congressional leaders decided to come to a deal. Well, and, you know, I mean, it was sitting in front of them the whole time. It's whether they wanted to do it or not. It's not like the number changed or the issues on the table really changed. But it looks like we're going to it's going to provide modest support. It's not the depth of the CARES Act, which was a major fiscal stimulus. This is about $900 billion, and it will provide direct payments for individuals. Like the last one, however, I think there's a cap on $75,000 in annual earnings or something close to that. And one of the things that we were looking for was support for the airline industry and transit, including New York MTA. Yep. So those MTA bonds should perform pretty well. And then there's the usual assortment of aid to small business and direct payments. We talked about that in federal job support benefits. The thing that's missing, though, that we felt pretty strongly about was the support for state and local governments. And I think Congress believes that there are other avenues to provide that support, and we're not so sure about that. So underfunded state and local governments are exposed to further distress this next year. That's going to be one of the themes. It'll impact the municipal market, and it's not the GO tax-based stuff or the essential service necessarily. But you know, we'll see job cuts in the government sector because the budgets won't line up. Right. And municipalities lag, their finances lag 12 to 18 months. It's just a longer reporting cycle. So it's going to be something that comes out later in the year, we think. So, all right. Other than that, what's on your plate this week?
Well, just, you know, really spent the weekend focusing on what's worked so far this year and what hasn't. You know, at a high level, pretty much all risk assets have turned the corner and have worked despite, you know, significant drawdowns back in March. You know, with small caps down almost 50% at their lows in March, you know, are back up in double-digit positive territory. But, you know, outside of the index, in the sector realm, the thing that did not work was energy. So far this year, energy stocks, the index is down 35%. So that's, you know, that's obviously the worst performing sector. Financials have had a rough year as well, with rates continuing to decline and having to stop dividend payments. Now came out this last week that they can begin to pay their dividends again. So that is new positive news. But really, the market was driven by the tech sector, right? We talked about that probably ad nauseum.
Especially large cap tech.
Yes. So those are really the drivers, because they've had positive returns and they're such a large portion of the index. But when you break down really what's performed in the S&P 500, some of those names are things like Etsy. It's up 300% year to date.
Yeah.
NVIDIA up 125%. PayPal, one of our top holdings, you know, up 120% year to date. So, you know, there are some other names outside of the top five that perform really, really well. But then when you look at what hasn't worked, I don't think there's a lot of surprises.
How many airplanes have you been on this year?
Exactly. Well, even more so, how many ships have you been on?
Yeah.
So Carnival and Norwegian are the worst of the S&P, down 57%.
Even in the healthiest, I wouldn't get on them. They were just petri dishes for infections.
Right. You think a plane's bad? I'll just do that over the course of 7 days.
I am not the all-you-can-eat buffet kind of guy either.
Nor am I. But you know, the two is you've got, obviously, a hit on energy. Occidental is down 55%. You've got United Airlines down 49%. But one of the ones that somewhat surprised me how bad it was is Wells Fargo, down 49% year to date.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I knew it was not performing well, but I didn't realize it was that bad to be cut in half.
Yeah.
Still cannot pay their dividend right now. So that's
Yeah. And then I don't know if you saw the news, but the Fed did announce that they are releasing the ban on, on the restrictions on banks' ability to buy back their stocks. So another theme next year is going to be share repurchases from the financial sector, because I think they're sitting on a boatload of cash to do that. So,
So we obviously have a somewhat of a bifurcated market with the things that have worked, haven't worked. Valuation is a big driver of that. You have any thoughts on that, Greg?
Well, so on valuation, this is we're in a weird spot. We are so far ahead of ourselves. So when you look at the, we kind of walked through this a couple of weeks ago. When you look at the S&P right now, trading at what, 36.50?
Yep.
Roughly, I know we're down at the open, but you put $155 on of expected earnings on that, you end up with a multiple of 23.70 next year. And I think the more the consensus, that's our downside. The more the consensus is $170 a share on the S&P. And that puts us at a multiple of 21.6 times. So 21 and a half times earnings is still a really, really high multiple. So traditional valuation on a PE basis doesn't make sense. But be careful here, because a lot of, I'm reading a lot of financial analysts saying, well, yeah, we have to use non-traditional measures. Whenever you see non-traditional measures, it's always a market top.
Yep.
But one rationale is the dividend yield on the S&P is higher than what you'd invest in corporate bonds. And so I think that's a trap. I just am very suspicious of that. But there are enough catalysts at these higher valuations, there's enough catalysts to see some growth in earnings next year. Mm-hmm. The problem is that we've pushed so much of it forward into this year that I think this is where stock selection is going to really matter.
Yep. Totally agree.
So you've got a couple ideas for what were winners and losers for this past year. What do you see for next year then?
So next year, I think a lot of it's going to be driven by what the consumer can actually do and how jobs pan out. But I think a little bit of the more of the same. I think you look at names like Microsoft still have a strong path ahead of them. There's not really going to be a shift away from the cloud. Maybe more entrance, but I really like the 5G play. Qualcomm is a name. We added back into portfolios.
Yeah.
And when you see that the actual demand for devices going up, it's real.
So the tech sector, I think that's going to be one of our overweights next year. But I how I feel about Salesforce. I'm really reticent on Salesforce just because of all the acquisitions and the goodwill that's been put on the books and the ability to put that together, to put the company together. But if we do see a growth, I think the corporate spending will start to open up a little bit. So that could be a positive for it. But you mentioned you were talking about Wells Fargo. So the financials, if the financials can buy back stock.
Yep.
And they are so beaten down. So that would be another one, I think, sector that would do well.
Yeah, I mean, just fundamentally, they're the cheapest stocks out there. And if you just get a little bit of an increase in long-end rates, I think, that with, being able to buy back their stock. Yeah. And JP Morgan already announced that they're going to buy back, some ungodly amount of stock next year.
Okay, so this consumer discretionary sector is a real tricky one now, because it used to be the Home Depots and Nikes of the world, right? But now when with the shift of Amazon and the addition of Tesla, those both land in the consumer discretionary. So we are positive on Amazon. We are not investors in Tesla. And it's just the fifth largest company now in the S&P 500?
Is it?
I think it's
somewhere. I knew it top 10.
Yeah, it's up there. And so to plop that into consumer discretionary and say, hey, we like consumer discretionary is kind of you have to sort through to really get down into the lower cap level. Yeah.
You really like Amazon and electric cars.
Yeah. So we also talked about this whole entertainment. So Live Nation, we do not own Live Nation. I was doing a little digging on that. They have an average of 25 major acts a year. And this last year they had zero. And we were victims of that. We had Billy Joel tickets that we were not able to.
Justin Bieber tickets.
So So we're hoping that is, I think it's rescheduled for June of 2021. But they've already got 25 major acts scheduled. Or I'm sorry, they have 15 major acts scheduled for 2021 and 45 major acts scheduled for 2022. So I think that stock has had a huge run, I think, already. Yeah. But Madison Square Garden is a public company.
It is, yeah.
And that is lagged, and it's lagged in a large part, I think, because they have a big CapEx program in Las Vegas where they're building out a major concert venue. But their bookings now are running 50% ahead of this year. So 2021 bookings for Madison Square Garden, every tour stops at Madison Square Garden.
Right.
So that is an interesting play for a recovery stock. It's a small cap. It's, I think, a $2 billion market cap stock. But I think that's going to be an interesting one. There are just investment opportunities like that are still beaten down. And one of the other ones we have is Simon. Mm-hmm. So we bit the bullet. And the belief there is that people are dying to get back into stores.
Yeah.
Eventually just to get out. Yeah. And that once this thing takes hold, that the shopping mall is not going away. The pandemic accelerated a shift in the consumer sector, but it's not ending the shopping mall as it is. You know, it's just shopping malls already were trending more towards restaurants and less towards retail,
right?
And entertainment type complexes. So I think I like that. I hate REITs, but I like that one now in the portfolio. I'm not a big REIT fan. And I think REITs, real estate is going to be one of those themes that's going to be a real problem next year, commercial real estate, because all the foreclosures, I think that ban on foreclosures ends December 31st, and I don't know if it was extended in the.
I didn't see that line up.
I didn't either, so we got to dig into that.
But, you know, on Simon too is the fact that they went in there and actually bought brands. That's a difference maker there to me.
I know one of the things we got to dig into is a REIT. 90% of their funds from operations have to be distributed in order to maintain their status as a REIT. So if they, and it has to be real estate related. So if they have too much revenue coming from the retail business, it might impact their REIT status. So I don't know
how much sales there are at Men's Warehouse.
But I don't know. I got to dig into that too. I think that's all I have, Adam. How about you?
The only other thing I'll wrap up is just on the fixed income side, to end on a boring note. Rates really didn't do much. But when we're looking at winners and losers, I mean, really one of the winners this year has been in treasuries. And as boring as that is, long duration treasuries have returned 17% year to date. So kind of lost perspective of the fact that rates across the curve are down over 100 basis points since year end, which conversely means there's a lot of room for rates to go up. You know, if we get some big shifts in the economy. So just something to look out for. I mean, a fixed income in general just performed pretty well. The ag's up 7%. Credit itself is up 10%. So like I said, hard to find a place that didn't work this year, surprisingly.
Well, and people who know Winthrop Capital Management know we're a pretty big credit shop.
Yep.
However, this next year, it's given the run in credit, credit's still going to be important. But looking into structured securities is going to be, and then how to express that into our models in a way that's safe for our investors. There's a lot of product out there that doesn't really make sense. I think for the way that we build portfolio models. So I think we'll have some new tools that we will be adding to in the first quarter to portfolio models to help diversify further the fixed income exposure, which, admittedly, in the last 5 years, it's been pretty heavy credit. So, but safety and that whole vol trade too. So, it's been quite a year. I don't know about you, Adam, but I'm happy this year is going to be over pretty soon.
Me too.
All right, man. Let's sign off. You guys have a great week. Have a happy holiday, and we'll talk to you next year. Thank you.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.